M3, number 2B.
So here we have seen that what Mrs. Eddy presented as the nature and essence and wholeness, so to say, depicting really what is God, that she uses those seven synonymous terms. And by the way, she says in, not she says, but apparently she has taught in her class in 1888, she has said that upon the truth of these terms for God rests the basis of this science. See, that on these truths rests the basis of this science. In fact, they are the science. You see how she has already seen at that time that this new language, that new tongue, that these super symbols really are the backbone of her discovery. On another occasion, Mrs. Eddy said, if we were really conscious of the meaning of the synonyms of God, this would heal every case. Can you see? This would heal every case because they stand for the whole. Therefore, they include everything. But actually, it would heal not the way we want it to heal, but the way the whole wants to progress and to bless and to give and to bestow, and not the way we want to have it. So this is really the first great category which we encounter in our study of science. Now, if we take it this way, we can see its implication, what she presents in the textbook. See, in the textbook, she gives now, this is an illustration, she goes out from God and asks, what is God? God is, again, the infinite, therefore I have put it in a circle. See, it's the infinite, it's God. But before it is explained through its structure, it is mysticism, it's an undifferentiated whole. Therefore, she says, but if we take God, the term God, and put it through a prism, this is a prism, see, this is a prism, and put it through a prism, then the hues of deity will come out. Just as we, if we take the light of the sun and let it go through a prism, then not the white light is shown, but the seven colors are shown. You know that from experience. She says, science is the prism of truth, which divides its rays and brings out the hues of deity. Can you see? That's what was her methodology. She said, I take the term God, which is indefinite, and put it through the prism of science, and let it split up in its seven synonymous terms. So here we get the seven synonymous terms. Yeah. This should be the hues of deity as seven. And then, therefore, she gives the seven synonymous terms. Then we have gone a step further and say, but the definition of synonymous terms says that they have specific characteristics and therefore are not freely interchangeable. And so we can ask ourselves, what are those characteristics which make each synonymous term a character by itself, something by itself clearly distinguishable from the others? And so we were studying the synonymous term in the textbook, each one, and finding out the ideas. These little lines, just indicate the whole list of ideas characterizing mind, you see. Then the ideas characterizing spirit, the characterizing soul. Now I can't go on because there are seven on it. Yes. And so we get a whole list, you see, of the ideas. But they are already ideas. There are no more those wonderful super symbols which we had here as synonymous terms. Then, when we had found out these ideas, then we could go on, because Mrs. Eddy gave us the method how to go on. She said, the lens of science magnifies the divine power to human sight, and we then see the supremacy of spirit and the nothingness of matter. And she says, this is the lens, you see, the lens of science. And this is the focal point where all the ideas come together. What does she say about that focal point? You see that, how she was thinking. She says, the rays of infinite truth, the rays of infinite truth, these are the rays of infinite truth, of these infinite ideas, when gathered into the focus of ideas, into the focus of ideas, here, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously. Bring light instantaneously. Just as you have it when you take a lens and let the light of the sun shine through and you have paper under the lens, if the paper is in the focal distance, then it begins to burn. You have done that, I think, when you were boys and girls, just as we have done it. It gathers strength, it gathers power. You know, it's terrific when it comes to the point of focusing these ideas. She goes on and says, the rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously, whereas, and now comes the whereas a thousand years of human doctrines, hypotheses, and vague conjectures emit no such effulgence. That is, the moment we go outside of the focal distance, like here, then we get all the illusions. If we are not staying in the focal distance of ideas in consciousness, then we have illusions and we are outside of that focal distance. Therefore, she says, delusion, sin, disease, and death arise. See, now you can see that, her methodology again. That delusion, sin, disease, and death arise from the false testimony of material sense, which, from a supposed standpoint outside the focal distance of infinite spirit, see, here it is outside the focal, this is the focal, and this is the focal distance. Outside the focal distance, you have only illusions. Whereas outside of the focal distance of infinite spirit presents an inverted image of mind and substance with everything turned upside down. Is everything turned? Yes? The last statement is 301.24. So you can see, only if we go out from a supposed standpoint outside, if we don't go this way from God to the focal point, if we don't go this way, we always have a standpoint outside this, and we always have a false system of reference. We always get into trouble. Indicating, you see, that her methodology of presenting the infinite is to go out from God and saying, well, God is just a name. If I analyze it through the prism of science, I receive a definite range of seven fundamental, differentiated, clearly identified concepts of the one being. These super symbols stand for a lot of ideas, which are definite by them, defined again definitely. Then, these ideas are not standing alone. They are not isolated ideas. They must be gathered again into the oneness, into the focal point of ideas, and then they bring light instantaneously. Then they bring the solution instantaneously, the right solution. But if I go out from the other side, then I'm outside of the focal distance of the infinite spirit, and all what I get is disease and death and I don't know what. All the trouble in the world. Again, what does she say? She says, God can see nothing outside of his own focal distance. Isn't it wonderful? God can see nothing outside of his focal distance. He can only see idea. He can see nothing else. He is not aware of a supposed standpoint outside of it. He is not aware of any sense of disharmony. In other words, you say in other words or with other words? In other words. All right, in other words. In other words, here she gives us the method. She says, why do you always go out from a standpoint outside the focal distance and say, here I have all my problems. Help, help, help. You know? Science says, no, you can only go out from the one principle. But that's consciousness, not thinking. It's consciousness. And in consciousness, we go out this way, and then God can see nothing outside of the focal distance. And then she says, immortal man is the eternal idea of truth. He cannot get out of the focal distance of infinity. If you want to take in that term man again, which we rather like to have it as an obsolete word, if we take in again, we can see, all right, if we take in that old man again, at least we give him a good chance and tell him that he cannot get outside of the focal distance. The moment he gets outside there, he's leaving God. But he cannot, because being is being. So, here we have, in a diagram, so to say, what Mrs. Eddy tried to show as the method of research and the method of investigation, and gives us, therefore, the way how we should culture our consciousness. Gives us, defines to us the standpoint from which to work. And if we go out from the divine principle, then we can never get outside of the focal distance. We can never get outside of it, because consciousness rests in it. So here in a few words, you see, we see the procedure of our study, really. That's the way we have been studying. We have been studying by asking first, in the 30th, what is God through the seven synonymous terms. We are studying those ideas round about the beginning of the Second World War. Then, when we have seen these ideas, we began to blend them. We blend all these ideas together into the focal distance of the one spirit. Seeing that this is by itself the solution of any inversion. This is the solution by itself of any inversion. We don't have to invert the faults, to reverse the faults. That is anyway a very primitive method of dealing with a subject, to go out from the faults and try to reverse it. And nobody knows what to place instead of it. Go out in science, we go out from principle. That's the wonderful part. How much time do we have? I didn't look at the watch. About 10 minutes. Oh, that leaves me plenty of time for going to the second category, which we have had, namely the four operational sense of being, which Mrs. Eddy gives. You know that Mrs. Eddy gives us not only the nature of being, but she says there also must be a method of operation in being, which we can't just have in mathematics the 10 digits and say, here are the 10 digits and this is the basis of all arithmetic. But then arithmetic must come along and say, I give you the rules of operation, how they operate, and gives addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. And the same thing is true in the textbook and in the Bible, in this way that the Bible gives first the symbol of the four operations in the holy city, that new Jerusalem which came down from God out of heaven and was showing, and Mrs. Eddy was interpreting that city four square as the Word, then the Christ, here, Christianity, and then science. These are the four operational sense of being. It is a city four square. It is what is called a closed system in usual terminology. Namely, it shows that everything happens within the embrace of these four operations. She gives a second illustration of these four just two pages later, and speaks no more as the four sides of the city, but as the four cardinal points of the city. These are the four cardinal points, north, east, south, west. You see, these are the four cardinal points. She illustrates it now through a open system. They are the same terms, namely Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, but here now shown not as a closed system, but as an infinitely open system. It is open because you see that within this way of reasoning, you can make any calculation. You can have the north and the east, and the middle of it is northeast. And you can go on calculating to north, northeast, and further, or in degrees. In other words, she shows here that through those four operations, we can see that every problem can be solved because it lends itself to the infinite operation of being. Now, when she speaks about the cardinal points, then she speaks about the Word, not just the Word, but the Word of life, truth, and love. And about the Christ as the spiritual idea. So that Word of life, truth, and love, she says, has always an idea. See, she indicates here that those seven synonymous terms as the Word are not static, but that they have a Christ, that they have always a sense that they want to express themselves in a new idea, that infinitely, at every point, the Word says, I'm not static, I'm dynamic, I have always a new aim to achieve, I always want to bring something forth which is completely new. That's the Christ idea. Christianity, here she calls it as the outcome of the Christ idea. The outcome. That which is now manifested as the Christ idea, the form in which it demonstrates itself. And so we always can remember that when we speak about Christianity, that it has to do with the outcome, not with the origin, not with the idea that is to be brought out, but that which is brought out or manifested. And then she comes to science and says, in the West is science which interprets Christianity and the Christ and the Word, which takes and shows the reason, the understanding of this operation, and shows that this operation is not going on somewhere in time or space, but is going on in understanding, in science. So so that it takes away a sense of operation in time and space, that any demonstration, that any operation in being is not something that has anything to do with time or space, but has only to do with one's understanding of science itself. So in these ways, you see, she tries to symbolize these four operational methods. Can I have a few minutes? All right. What do they mean, these four methods? Well, naturally one could give a whole weekend talk on it, but for us, for most of us, it is just a repetition and a recapitulation to show what they mean, what they spiritually mean. See, spiritually, they mean that the word is that which comes to us as the self-declaration of its own nature. First, in every subject, we first must know what is the subject. Must first there be a presentation or a declaration of what is what. And therefore, here in the word, we have, so to say, the declaration that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But with that declaration of what God is, we have not yet come to an end. Then the Christ comes and says, but this word is self-operating. It gives us that wonderful sense that we don't have to make the word work, that the word works by its Christ. That because in being there is such a thing as a Christ, there is such a thing as a self-operative power, a self-regulating, self-organizing power, that there is in being such a thing which says, I'm not static, I'm dynamic. That's the Christ. That's what we biblically call the Christ. It's that self-dynamics of being. And if being is dynamic and operates, something must be the outcome. We have seen Christianity is the outcome. And so we see there is an outcome of every operation, namely as a perfect fulfillment of this idea, indicating to us really that we don't have to work like what you call them in England, like slaves. Like slaves, but we don't have to work like slaves to fulfill anything. It is self-fulfillment. The moment we spiritually touch the word properly and let it operate in our consciousness as the Christ idea, then it has in itself the power of self-fulfillment, the outcome. And when it has fulfilled itself, we begin to realize what it was, what happened, what it means. It interprets to us what it really wanted to do. We can't interpret it. We can't give advice to science how it must operate. But it interprets itself to us. And very often the biggest interpretation of what has happened in our life comes perhaps 20 or 30 years later. Only then, looking back, we say, oh, now I see what happened 20 years ago when I thought the whole world will fall into pieces. The best thing has happened there at that point. Then only who does interpret that? Not the human mind. It interprets itself to us. Let it happen. Let it happen. This is what the operation of the one being wants to teach us. Don't interfere into the dynamics of being. Let it be what it is. Let it operate. And so we get this fourfold operation.